Our scripture lesson for this morning continues the story of David and Goliath. We're in a series of sermons based on that story, which you can find in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Last week we read the first 9 verses. Today we pick up with verse 10 and read through verse 16. Each week we'll add to the story. And the Philistine said, this is Goliath, and the Philistine said, "Today I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Greatly afraid. That's what we're going to talk about. Now David was the son of an Ephrathite of Bethlehem in Judah, named Jesse, who had 8 sons. In the days of Saul, the man was already old and advanced in years. The 3 eldest sons of Jesse had followed Saul to the battle. The names of his 3 sons who went to battle were Eliab, the firstborn, and next to him Abinadab, and the 3rd Shema. David was the youngest. The 3 eldest followed Saul. But David went back and forth from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. For 40 days, the Philistine came forward and took his stand, morning and evening. This is the word of God for us, the people of God, for which we can say, Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. God, pour your spirit upon us right now, and may these words be your words. May we see the giant of fear in the person of David, of Goliath, and know, Lord, that the battle is the Lord's. We pray that you give us glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Susie has a younger brother named Sam, and many years ago, Sam was graduating from Montreat Anderson College in the foothills of North Carolina. Susie and I, of course, went to his graduation. We got to the auditorium at the college very early because Susie's mom wanted to be front and center. I think we were the first people there. And we came and sat on the 2nd row. Now, there was usually at a commencement address, there's a speaker who either is an important alumni or perhaps a famous citizen. I can't tell you who spoke at the graduation exercises, but I can tell you a story that he told. Now, this has been years ago, and this story still is part of what I think about from time to time. It's a story of what happened on a Halloween evening. This commencement speaker was telling this story. He said that he and his wife lived in a neighborhood where a bunch of kids would show up trick-or-treating. Maybe that's your neighborhood. I don't know. They thought that they had bought plenty of candy, but they were a little bit shy, and they could tell that they were going to run out of candy. Now, you know what we do? We turn the light off and pretend that, you know, we weren't home. But his wife said to him, "Hey, I'm going to make a quick run to the grocery store. Be sparingly in the candy that you give. I'll be back as soon as humanly possible." So the trick-or-treaters kept coming, and he gave smaller portions of candy, and then he ran out. So we went to the pantry, and he started giving away canned goods. One kid got a can of asparagus, and he looked at the guy and said, "Really? Asparagus?" Most of the kids who rang the doorbell, he didn't recognize. They were wearing masks. Their faces were painted, you know, the kind of thing that you see on a Halloween evening. But he did recognize this little girl named Molly, who lived just a couple of doors down. And he says, "Molly, who are you supposed to be?" She says, "Well, I'm a mean old witch." And he said, "Molly, where's your mask?" Listen, church, what she said. She said, "I'm afraid of it." I'm afraid of it. The speaker at Sam's graduation ceremony opened with that story. he talked to soon-to-be graduates about what they might be afraid of too. They had left home for college, and it was a fearful time. Now they were leaving college for what the rest of us call the real world. And I don't know what their fears were, but you know what, they had them. Don't you know it? Looking for a job, looking for their place. That little girl, Molly, said, "I'm afraid of it." My question this morning for you is this: what are you afraid of? What is the it that you are afraid of? A quick Google search will give you the top fears: spiders, snakes, public speaking. Glad I don't have that one. Heights, the dark, germs. There are 400 known phobias, according to a search I did recently. There's some strange things to be afraid of. Choir, are you ready for this one? Music. Oh. How can you be afraid of music? Also, folks were afraid of stairs, hair, gum, and chicken. Chicken. I don't know if it's the kind on your plate or the kind that kind of run around. What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? Talk about Susie's aunt. Her mom died in 2011 after a battle with cancer. Her dad, who had never bought anything, never done a load of laundry, washed a dish, or anything, he died this past January. He was scared of everything. My mom died about a year ago, you might remember, and my mom was a fear of falling. She was afraid that if she fell, she'd break a bone. Tom, I would have brought her to you, right? I used to, and I wonder if I'm the only one. I would do this dance every night. I would look under my bed. I would open the doors to my closet, and I would do that two or three times just in case a monster lived under there. Am I the only one who's ever done that? I guess I am. Okay. The Bible takes fear seriously. In fact, it says 366 distinct and different times, "Do not be afraid." It uses the word "take courage" sometimes to communicate that, or to take heart, but 366 times. That's one for every day of the year, and an extra one in case you need it. Do not be afraid. Why does the Bible address fear so much? Well, I think the answer is simple. We're a fearful people. We're an anxious people. We are a stressed out people. Jesus says, "I came to give you life and give it to you abundantly," but we get anxious, right? We don't sleep well. Our stomachs hurt. Our heart aches. What are you afraid of? Last week, we began a new sermon series based on the story of David facing Goliath in 1 Samuel 17. Also, I'm using a book that I read several years ago called Goliath Must Fall by Louis Giglio. Today, we're looking at a giant named fear. Now, let me remind you of the context. The army of the Philistines were camped on one side of a hill, and the army of the Israelites on the other side of the hill. Israelites, of course, are the people of God. And in the valley between them is the valley called Elah. As I said, as the scene opens, there's not a lot of fighting going on. You know, they're just kind of looking at each other across the valley. Because if you were going to attack and you were the Israelites, you'd have to run down the hill, through the valley, and up the hill to face the Philistines. And don't you know, they'd see you coming. The same would be true. And so the Philistines finally said, "Let us send our warrior down, our champion down." And so they do, and the Bible describes him. He is 6 cubits and a span tall, which means he is 9 foot 9 inches tall. I did some research this way. He had brothers who were also very big. His armor included a coat of mail, greaves of bronze, a javelin, and a spear. The spearhead weighed 600 shekels of iron. Experts tell us the weight of his armor would have been more than 150 pounds. Can you imagine? We are told more. His name is Goliath. He is from the town of Gath, and we are told that he is a champion. Carl, this is not his first fight. He is a champion. And you have to wonder, how many fights has David been in? I mean, he has fought off lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my. When they tried to attack the sheep. But has he even been in a real battle yet? And down the mountain comes Goliath. Every morning and every evening, and his words strike fear. You remember what happened? Last week I read this part of the lesson too. When Saul and all Israel heard these words, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. So can you see it? A 9-foot, 9-inch giant with armor all around him. And you can name him Fear. Fear. Wouldn't it be nice if our giants would fall as easily as Goliath did? There was a place, he had all that armor. There's a place where his armor wasn't protected at his temple. And that's where the rock hit him. And that's what killed him. And after that, I'm told, they changed the armor so it would come down farther. Right? So, what I want to say to you today is three quick things. I want to say three things about fear. Here's the first. We need to know where it gets its start. Where does fear originate? How does it come to us? Louis Giglio says this of it: we're conditioned for it. I'll tell you how I got my conditioning. I got it from my mom. My mom wasn't fearful, but she was anxious. She worried about a lot of things. And she passed that on to me. Thank you, Mother. I mentioned Susie's dad, who worried about everything, was afraid of a lot of things near the end of his life. You know where Susie got her worry? Which gene? Which parent? Her dad. I often say, if you're a worrier, don't marry a worrier. But that's what happened. I fell in love with Susie. We've married 32 years now, right? And now we're 37. How do we get rid of this giant? My fear is that, there's that word, that I haven't passed this gene on to Julie or Annie Grace. Here's the second thing I want you to know. It's worse when you conceal your fear. As if you go around saying, I'm not afraid of anything. Nothing can touch me. I don't have any sin. I don't have any regret. Fear isn't meant to be bottled up. And so that leads me to the third thing on this Communion Sunday I want to say to you. What name would you give your fears? Now, we know about the little girl, the Halloweener, the trick-or-treater, what was she afraid of? Her mask. What are you afraid of? What keeps you up at night? What strikes fear? You don't have to say it out loud. In fact, I don't want you to. But you might whisper it to Jesus this morning. What are you afraid of? On Tuesday mornings, we have marathon staff meetings at our church. We start at 9:30, and if we're done by noon, we call it good. I will say there's a lot of visiting that goes on, not just all business. Oh, yeah. We enjoy each other's company. We go to lunch after often. I want to say this. Someone asked me as part of our study, we go over the scripture, and we have time of prayer. That takes about an hour, really. And someone said, well, John, what are you afraid of? And here's what I said. I'm afraid of failure. And I'm afraid of rejection. I'll say a little more about that next week. That's when Kelly said, well, I feel kind of, I mean, she said snakes. those are some things that just kind of resonate in the life of a pastor, you know? You move from time to time and from place to place, and you wonder, is it going to be good here? By the way, I think it is, right?
Amen.
Sometimes we fear a health concern. Just this week, I watched a shooting in New York. A guy that drove all the way across the country and killed, what was it, 4 or 5 people? A 28-year-old who was about to start another year of teaching school in Springdale, not far from here, who was arrested for killing 2 people on a trail at Devil's Den State Park. I've been to that state park. There's a lot to be afraid of. So what do we do with this giant? Well, let me suggest that you do what David did. Go into the Valley of Elah, where the stream is, reach into those waters, and pull out a rock. And on that rock, I want you to look for it. It'll be there. It's kind of like a 4-leaf clover. There'll be a rock, a smooth stone. And on that rock will be written the word faith. Faith. You put that rock in your slingshot and aim high and hit fear right in the center of his forehead and watch him fall. David says, all those who gather here will know that this is not, will know that this is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. It is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's. Amen? The battle is the Lord's. It's not your battle. You participate in it, but it's not your battle. So pick up your faith and your slingshot and hit him between the eyes.